there on my mind.
Blog Talk Radio.
1, 2, 3
I can't hear anything.
Neither can I. I can hear myself. Can you hear yourself, Mom?
I can't. No, I can hear myself, but I can't hear.
You can't hear yourself?
I can hear myself.
But that's what, there's nothing playing for you to hear.
I can't hear anything.
Okay.
All right.
Some music going on. Yeah, now I'm beginning to hear. Are we going to be able to hear the music? Well, we're trying to get to hear a little bit of Pancho Sanchez. And those of you who know who Pancho Phil Sanchez is, the drummer. And we're going to be, playing a little bit of A Night at Kimball's East. Eric Peterson, known like, you know, drummer. Everybody knows this. As a matter of fact, he also has on this old album, you know, Symphony City, you know, title song. But anyway, how you doing, Eric?
I'm doing all right. Let me just say, I wanted to let people know that our show is being sponsored by
There it is.
And anyway, Vonda's Kitchen is one of the sponsors of our show. You can go to the kitchen.
Nice music.
183 West End Street, North New Jersey. Or you can call up and find out exactly how to get there at 973-732-4532. Vonda's Kitchen, they have comfort soul food, and it is good. And you know, we just had Vonda in here. We interviewed her, and she's a fantastic cook in her restaurant. We want you to go check it out, because if you don't, you are depriving yourself. One of our sponsors also is Bogey's Lounge in East Orange, New Jersey, on William Street. Owned by the interesting and great Reuben Johnson.
Right. And Lottie.
And Lottie's restaurant, which is within the same structure there. So we want to encourage you folks to go out to either one of these places, these stores in Newark, and go and check them out. So, yeah. Bogey's Lounge and Vonda's restaurant. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Government shut down.
Yeah.
A little spoiled rats.
Oh, are you talking about the Republicans by any chance?
Oh, I thought it was the white citizens.
That too.
But, you know, it's just ridiculous. We're going to hopefully hear from Congressman Donald Penn Jr. so he can talk to us and bring us up to speed on exactly what's going on. I think they were voting as recently as just about an hour or two ago.
Really?
So here we are talking about this stuff. And other folks on.
Right. As a matter of fact, I think we have on the air right now. We are going to be doing news information and education and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to be talking about the symphony, the New Jersey Symphony, who, you know, last Friday we were there at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, and guess what? They played, you know, Jerry Allen and jazz music, and they had the Hampton Choir singing, not the Hampton, I'm sorry, the Howard University Jazz Ensemble. So lots going on. So, you know, I got so enthused about the music, I said, let's change some of the music, so therefore Latin music. Pablo Sanchez, Pancho Sanchez, and want to go now to the phones and see if we can talk to Bishop Joseph, Bishop Jethro James. Jethro, Bishop James.
Yes, how are you, Kay?
Fine. I'm going to have to turn this mic up so we can hear a little bit and so we can get into the conversation. So glad that you could join us tonight. Thank you, because you have such a busy schedule.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and my schedule is never too busy for you.
Thank you. Listen, I understand that you are also what I really wanted to talk about. I know that you're the chaplain of the State Police and the Newark Police, and I know you're very busy. You are also the pastor of your church, Paradise Baptist Church in Newark. Okay, but Jethro, I want to ask you, you know, What is the power? And everybody should listen to this. What is the power? Is the black church still a very powerful, the most powerful institution in the black community, or what?
I think it's not only the most powerful. I believe it's the anchor institution in the black community. Just recently, as recently as today, met with a young lady and a young man. And we were talking about, as you know, in New Jersey, the minimum wage is $7.25. That says that someone is making roughly $290 a week, $15,000 a year. And, you know, you have to have your basic food, your basic housing, your basic transportation, and whatever you're going to do. And you're never going to get your family out of poverty. And the reality is that they're coming to the church because we see the good, the bad, the ugly. We also become one of the biggest social service agencies. Many of the people that are making that $7.25 are forced to come to our food banks, our soup kitchens. Sometimes we just have to go in our pockets and help feed and clothe their children. And that's a reality. And so, you know, New Jersey right now, it's going to be on the ballot. They want to raise it by just $1. And what that would mean is that if we just look at Obamacare, let me tie those two together. If we just look at Obamacare.
Yes, I was just going to ask you that.
This person, this dollar raise could mean $1,000 to $2,000 a year, which would be more than enough to pay for basic health insurance, because many people on minimum wage don't have basic health insurance. And so that's something that we've got to be aware of. The other piece is that we know that Martin King himself died, and we like to use the word sanitation, but back in that day they were called garbage men. He died for the lowest. And then Jesus says to us that as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. And so I think that the black church, it's the place not only for politics, but it's the place where policies ought to be shaped.
Yes.
The late Dr. C.L. Franklin, pastor of that great church in Detroit, said this, that politics is the science of good government. The preacher's job is to make sure that a mad scientist does not get in the laboratory.
Bishop James, Eric Payne here. And I agree with you 100% on all those things. As a matter of fact, you probably know already that the state of California, their governor, Jerry Brown, raised the minimum wage $1 to $8.50, and which is really, when you think about it, anything less than $10 to me is not a real living wage in the United States. How do you feel? As you know, the shutdown has caused people to lose their SNAP benefits and things like that. And I just saw on the news today where a Boys and Girls Club that serves meals to the kids in there didn't get their meals today, and a lot of kids hadn't eaten yet, and they asked some mothers, and a mother actually asked her child on camera, did you have something to eat today yet? And the child did. So if you could just give your thoughts of the shutdown and, you know, how devastating it is to people, that being said about the minimum wage.
Well, first of all, in supposedly the greatest country in the world, the richest country in the world, there should never be a thing called food stamps to start with or SNAP. There is absolutely no reason when you look at what this Congress, as ill-informed as they are and somewhat deformed, if you will, they send billions of dollars and talk about, you know, it's in our best interest to foreign soils, countries that don't like us, countries that really don't care about us. When do you take care of your own house? When do you take care of the people that are laid at the gate? And then folks that are making it, barely making it. And I say to you, well, I don't know when I'm going to give you your job back. I don't know when you're going to work. And if all you have is what's in the cupboard, you're going to stretch it. You can't get unemployment because, oh, that's a government agency. Right. I can't give you any food stamps because that's a government agency. I can't do anything about housing because that's all run through this government. Then I really think there is something desperately wrong with folks that claim they're in the best interest of America. And then my question to them is this. Is there anybody in your family that's not eating tonight? Is there any child in your family that didn't get a meal today?
Yeah.
Is there any time that you're not getting a paycheck? And let me take it a little further. We know, and this is not against anybody because, you know, we have some beloved folks in our government, and so I don't want them to take it personal. But the best health insurance in the world is for the United States Congress and the president.
That's right.
And so it is what it really is. And as far as folks that are not eating, the churches are going to pick up, those of us that know about it, we're going to pick up that cost if it means going in my pocket and seeing that a child gets a hot meal. No need in calling FEMA because we can no longer get the emergency assistance that we had when we had the hurricane here. And we fed over between the faith-based community in Newark. We actually documented over 102,000 folk were serviced by us. And we're talking about everything from Pampers to adult Pampers to baby foods to those hot meals. And so we can't call on them. And let's just say that God decides to send a major catastrophe anywhere in this country. FEMA is shut down. FEMA is shut down. What happens? And so when we look at simple things, and I'm back to the politics in New Jersey, as a minimum wage, when we look at simple things as to the power of God's church, and then we have to be careful, those of us that God has put in places of responsibility, not to let politics enter in until we become those that are being pimped.
Bishop James, let me ask you another question along those lines, because I'm understanding the power of the Black Church, and it is the most powerful institution in the Black community or in the country, period. Now, also, what about affordable care, Obamacare? A lot of people don't even understand that Obamacare is also affordable care when we're talking about health insurance. Now, what is your church? Is your church making that clear to your congregations? I know they are, so I know that question.
Yes, well, fortunately, we have some folk that actually are teachers and are trainers, my wife being one of them because she works for Passaic County. Mm-hmm. And she is actually doing some train-the-trainer stuff for employees of the county. The reality is that when you look at certain counties in New Jersey, like Passaic County, there is no place to really sign up for Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And over 80,000 folks are eligible. We just looked at Essex County. There are over 400,000 folk that are eligible for Obamacare. The mm-hmm. cost factor. And here is the reality that folks need to look at. First and foremost, for those of us that are over 50, you really could not almost never get any kind of insurance if you had a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus for anybody. You can have cancer right now, and I thank God I'm a cancer survivor, and now get health care. For folks that have children, depending on what the exchanges are, what program you take, there's something in the marketplace for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at certain things will still remain. Certain social programs and poverty levels will remain in place. But for the person that's making $15,000 a year, if this goes through, if this goes through here in New Jersey, you have a shot. With a pre-existing condition, you have high blood pressure, you have diabetes, you have HIV, you can get health care. And no one wants to talk about that in our community. We may not have the full understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think the president said something because, of course, anytime you roll out a new program, there are some glitches and will always be. And he used this analogy. The iPhone came out with the iPhone 5, whatever it is, or 6 or whatever that number is.
That's right.
And folk that rushed to get it and to upload the new app
found
themselves having problems. And as the president said, and I applaud him for this, he said, nobody said we need to get rid of the iPhone the iPad. They said we will fix the software and
correct.
Go forward.
That's right.
And the other piece that I want to say to our listening audiences, before you invest in a PlayStation 3 or before you invest
you're preaching
and upgrade your iPhone, your Galaxy, your iPad, invest in health care for you and your family.
Okay. Listen, Bishop James, thank you very much. You know, we're running
out of time.
We have another caller. But, you know, you stay around. Don't you go anywhere, because the fact that we were going to be calling you again and again and again and again, because we need your information. We need the power of the Black Church behind all of this that's going on that seems to be directed at poor people instead of for poor people. You know, with the Republicans, they are
attempt of the Republicans, Black churches for Black people.
Right.
And, you know, we need to have a longer discussion about that, Bishop James. Because I was going to start talking about when you said those that do these things in the name of America, you know, makes me think about Ice Cube's album, that their version of it is America. So,
they used to say, and if you go back to old slavery, they never said America, they said America.
That's right.
Beautiful language.
Break it down.
Thank you, Bishop. We'll talk again
soon.
Thank
you.
Thank you
very much. God bless you, and thank you for having
me. You too.
Thank you.
Also, thank you. The Bishop is really well spoken. He's also the chaplain of the Newark Police Department and also the New Jersey State Police.
That's right.
So we'll have him on again because he keeps things very straight.
Right,
you know,
for a longer discussion.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Also, I think we have Glenda Taylor on the line now. Is she on the line? Glenda Taylor?
Yes, I am.
Yes, Glenda is a poet, and she is a writer, and she is absolutely fantastic. She's brilliant because she recognizes me. How are you, Glenda?
I'm fine. You were having a great conversation about the Black Church and Obamacare.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
How are you doing today, Glenda? Now, you don't hear me.
What about you?
You don't hear me give my mother a hard time today, right? I got your message.
Now, listen, listen, Glenda.
So far.
Meet Eric, my friend.
As you know, we've met before.
Yeah.
And you want to chime in on that conversation, Glenda?
Uh-huh.
I know we have some books here by you. I'm going to be reading something from Black America Cried a little bit later as part of our audiobook section.
Oh, great.
But what are your thoughts about the conversation we were just having? Because I know you have some fantastic insights.
Well,
about
several things. First of all, I think the Congress and the senators are criminals for what they're doing. Okay, and I personally wrote a letter to Dana McConnell and Ted Cruz, because I don't see how they could sit up there and have health insurance and their families have health insurance, and they're getting their checks. And this week they said 200 young people will be, you know, pushed away and not serviced with the National Institute for Health who have cancer because the government is shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And they could sit there and know that they're getting their check, and there's some people who have to pay their mortgages on the first, or their rent on the first, or they have to pay it by the fifth, or they will have late fees which they cannot afford, but they're not getting paid because a group of congressmen said, you know, we're not giving. I mean, I don't understand how people like that can say that they believe in God or claim to be Christians.
Yeah.
Or believe in the Jesus that's in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John of the Bible. Because Jesus would not do what they are doing. He would say, okay, well, we disagree. We'll figure out how to work it out. But we're not going to stop people from getting health insurance.
Because they don't believe in the dreadlock.
The health insurance thing is very serious because my sister has thyroid condition, and they told her that if she wanted health insurance, she had to pay $1,200 a month. Now, who can afford to pay $1,200 a month for health insurance? So just by the mere fact that there is no pre-existing condition, that totally changes what will be available to her when she goes and searches the marketplace.
And also with that, if I could just chime in also with that, actually, women were paying more because being a woman was what they considered a pre-existing condition.
Yes.
The mentality of those individuals that passed that type of legislation, that makes perfect sense that they think that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just, like you said, and the bishop said, it is unbelievable that people would actually cause some people, children, about 2 million children are going to go hungry. You know, the SNAP, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, I believe it's called exactly, where people have to survive on $4 a day. And I know this because Congressman Don Payne took the challenge, members took the challenge and attempted to survive on $4 a day. Well, you can't do that unless you go to the dollar store or you're eating snacks here and there. But then if you need to travel somewhere to go to the cheap store, that's half of your money right there. So, you know, it's despicable what they do. I've coined a new phrase because we need to get rid of some of these people. And, you know, when people talk about it's the Congress, let's be specific and talk about which Congress people there are, just like those Tea Party individuals and those right-wing people are about us. So we need to be specific. It's not all the Congress. It's the Tea Party members.
Right.
Certain individuals, the Cantors, Eric Cantors.
That large numbers of the Republicans.
And they need to be called.
Ted Cruz, and Ed Boehner. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he considers himself a leader, and he's standing up there, and the only thing he has to do is put the vote before everybody and let them make the decision, and he won't put the vote before him because he's either getting paid or either the Tea Party has something or he's scared that he won't get reelected. What kind of a leader is that? And the rest of the Republicans are sitting there.
That's no leader whatsoever.
You don't want to lose health care. You can't. Blame him. He doesn't want to lose his health care.
But I want to go into a different direction right now. You know, I want to leave that and go into what we called Glenda Beck. I'm sorry. Listen, Glenda, now, you know, you have these fantastic books out, all right? Now, you know, you are the one who introduced me to the art of visualization and how to get what you want. Am I correct? Now,
yeah,
the, topic is going to be for you, how to get what we want. So talk to me about The Art of Visualization. That is the book that you recommended, and that is the book that I have been that have guided my life by, that in the Bible, of course. So what do you mean? In other words, anti-aging. Let's talk about aging. Okay, how do we get what we want and not age? Okay, how do we get what we want?
Tell me about that visualization.
Yeah,
how are you
the visualization. What do you do?
That seven-year-old, whatever,
not quite.
Around, looking at you as a 50-year-old. So tell me how that works.
Go ahead,
so with aging, you can't just you have to visualize, and you have to be careful what words come out of your mouth.
Visualize,
but you also have to exercise and eat properly because it all works together. Mm-hmm. So visualization is very important because athletes and performers and artists, they have been doing that for generations. They put in their mind, like when you talk to like Olympic champions, they will tell you that they spend a certain amount of time every day seeing themselves run that race and reach the mental. Even artists, before an artist can put something on a canvas, they're seeing a mental image in their head. And in order for us to create our lives the way we want it to be, we have to have an image of what we want. Because many times you ask a person, you know, like what do you want? Or, you know, what would you do if you had $10 million in your pocket right now? And many people will start, you know, like talking and just kind of not being very clear on what they want. And you can't get anything. You don't know what you want.
Exactly. And you have to actually verbalize
it. I can tell you what I'll do with my lottery winnings.
What?
You can tell you
I'll tell you what I'll do with my lottery winnings.
Mm-hmm. I know what I'll do.
I'll be very specific.
You'll be what, Glenda?
I said I'll be very specific.
Okay. Remember when you told me that, you know, about visualization. You had sent me the book, The Art of Visualization, and I told you that I was visualizing for $1 million. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember. That was amazing.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing? And, Eric, I did this. I visualized every night. This is what the book said, and this is what Glenda said.
So what happened to the $1 million?
Well, wait a minute. Let me tell you that I got it.
That
What happened was that?
What happened to the money?
No, Glenda knows because I told her this story, and I can prove because the bank, you know, sent
me
the information. Okay, you know.
That was around that time.
And we were supposed to be, you know, and I was counting the money. It says in the book, well, count what you want. Well, I'm counting up to $1 million. I was using singles, and that got too low, then tens, then 20s, then $100 bills.
Should have visualized.
I couldn't even go to sleep.
Should have visualized
taking
the money.
That's what somebody
home.
Else said, you know. And then before I went to sleep, then one morning I got up. I'll call the bank. You know how you visualize that. You don't believe you don't have anything in your checking account, but you call the bank anyway to check, you know, your checking account. All right. So the lady, you know, said on the menu, you know, you have $99,000 and something, da, 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 da.
Was it 99? I thought it was 999.
No, 999. Close to a million because I was visualizing for $1 million.
Right.
And, you know, asked again, and they said the same thing. Asked again, and I called the bank manager. I said, can you check the checking account? I said, you know, it's giving a high figure. And, you know, she said, Kate, you have $999,000 in your account. I said, it's impossible. Where did it come from? And it actually was in my account. I have the bank records approved.
Right.
She said, how in the world? You know, she said, you have $999,000 in your account.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I had it. And then, you know, Gus was telling me, he said, you better get the money out of your account because they're going to think that you're a drug dealer having that amount of money in your account. But anyway, it did happen.
So in short, somebody had wired.
What happened? Someone had sent from Africa,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a publishing company to a publishing company in New York, and they made a mistake of one digit, and that one digit led them to my account.
Wow.
But I had it. And the bank sent me, they said they never had anything happen like that before. But I almost had it. And as you said, another friend said, why in the world did you keep it? You know?
Right. Well, obviously, they tracked it down.
So this is the art of visualization.
I might have tried to borrow about 100 grand and flip that real quick and pay him back. That's just me, though. That's not my mom. That's not how I was brought up.
Blame that on
Glenda. That's called street hustle.
Blame that on Glenda because she's the one who told me about the art of visualization. Yeah,
just
back to
visualize, keeping it next time. We'll be okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We're at the bottom of the hour, and I just need to say that you're listening to GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah.
Go to GoProRadio.com to hear all the programming shows that we have on this network. We're also being sponsored. The K-Thompson Live Show is being sponsored by the world famous, back open, as I used to hang back in the day, Bogey's Nightclub Lounge in East Orange, New Jersey, on William Street. And the restaurant inside is Lottie's Barbecue Restaurant. It's really good food in East Orange. One of our sponsors, you got to go check it out. If you haven't been to Bogey's, in a while,
Bogey's
is
open, everyone.
The Jersey area, Essex County in particular, you know that Bogey's was the spot back in the day. I've been in there recently. It is the spot. Again, go check it out if you haven't been in a while. Bogey's Restaurant, Bogey's Restaurant Lounge is a fantastic place to go visit. And we're also being sponsored by Vonda's Kitchen. Vonda's Kitchen is on 183. I guess I should put my
spectacles on.
West Kenny, 183
right in
West Kenny Street, Newark, New Jersey, the Brick City. 973-732-4532. Vonda's Kitchen, where they have really good comfort soul food. It's a delicious, healthy comfort soul food because they prepare the food a little bit different than a lot of soul food restaurants. They're health conscious now, grilling, baking a lot of things. And they have this spinach, garlic spinach, which is really one of my favorite dishes over there, amongst all the fried and all the other unhealthy food. But the garlic spinach, I'm trying to eat more healthy nowadays. If you got the Ustream, you see I'm looking kind of a little like Santa Claus with the white beard, but that's all right. That's how we're rocking it nowadays. But Vonda's Kitchen is a spot you want to check out. Okay.
Glenda, are you still there? We're still there.
Still here.
Yeah. Okay, so now tell us how we get what we want. We do it by visualizing? Is that it?
Yeah, we have to spend every day, we have to spend a certain amount of time in silence actually seeing an image in our head. Because what it does is everything is energy. And what we're actually doing is we're creating an invisible magnetic field, which is attracting the energy that we want in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And that's
it's a simple Christian principle. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mm-hmm. And it's the evidence of the things not seen. So you're basically keeping an image in your mind when you're meditating, whether you're praying, whether you're visualizing, you're keeping an image in your mind of what it is you want in your life.
That's
see yourself
really
healthy. You want to see yourself exercising. You want to see yourself acquiring abundance. And it really works. Because I know I would not live in the house that I live in if I wasn't doing some serious visualizing. And we all slip and don't do what we're supposed to do and, you know, meditate all the time like we're supposed to. But I meditate and I pray, and the only reason why I live in the house that I'm living in is because I had a really clear image of what I wanted, and I kept it in my head.
Wow. Okay.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like the tithing. You know, like the faith is a belief in those things unseen as though they were. And at one point in living in Los Angeles, when I was working a lot, I was tithing my money, and I'm talking about the sense. So you know, when I was booking jobs and making a few thousand or whatever, talk about tithing, you know, $800-$700, which is a lot of money when you think about it. But I just trusted in God because I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and so I tithed my money, and I was getting checks. I was getting jobs out of nowhere. Like, you know, sometimes people think, you know, you can conceive where they come. You can kind of figure it out. But I was getting unexpected checks. I got a check for a commercial that I did 10 years prior to moving to Los Angeles, and they just decided to start rerunning. It was a New York Lotto commercial. They just started to rerun it. So much so, in fact, that the agent that I used to have, they had to track me down through the Screen Actors Guild and say, hey, they decided to start running this commercial again. And it was an extra, $5,000 for the year, but That's my testimony to how that works. And if you tithe your money and you believe and know that it's coming, you know, that's not so much visualization as opposed to the faith.
But I
knew that it was coming, so there was a certain amount of...
The art of visualization also goes along with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
At the end of this visualizing, this picture of the thing that you want.
Right.
So it's really
good. But I agree with you about tithing. Tithing definitely works. The only thing is with me, I believe in giving it to a church, but I also feel that 10%, sometimes, like you said, $500, $800, you can put in an envelope and send it anonymously to somebody who you know is in need. And even though it's not a deduction when you do it like that. Sometimes it's kind of nice, you know, because I know one time this the guy who cuts my grass, he had a fire, and he basically lost his entire home. And during that time, I didn't really have a lot of money, but I got, like Eric said, like an unexpected check. And I just, you know, put the money together, and I gave him $600. And he was so really stunned. But to me,
that's part of the joy.
You know, that was my way of tithing.
Really great.
That's
it really
part
is.
Of the joy, though, right? I mean, that gives you something to give to someone and make them, you know.
Yes, you really feel good about it. Because especially when you know people really need it, and we don't always have the sources to get, you know, that kind of money. Mm. I mean, just especially when you really have a major, like even now. I mean, when you think about what's going on in America with food and hunger and the government shutdown, there are people that we're probably looking at right when we're walking down the street or in the grocery store who probably really need somebody to give them $10 or $20.
Yeah.
Wendy,
right.
I want to go in a different direction here. You have a lot of books out that you have been reading, that you've been writing. You're a poet, you're a novelist, you've been award-winning and whatnot. And you've also just finished a book on Michael Jackson, I understand. We only have about two more minutes. Tell us about the book on Michael Jackson. You have your other book there. What is that? Black America Crime, Jalamusa's Drum. But tell us about the book on Michael Jackson. Where are you with that?
Okay, well, I actually have two books on Michael. One is coming out now, and one is coming out in February. One book is a book of poetry in which there are many voices. There's my voice, there's Michael's voice. And it deals with his life, and it deals with him as an American master, because a lot of people like to focus on his personal life, but they don't focus on the master that he was as an artist. And the second book, which is coming out in February, is about his art and how he used his art to promote social justice. And when you think about just so many of the Beaded, Black and White, just when you think about his videos and the images, Heal the World, Michael was consistently using his art to make political statements.
Yes, he was.
And people really don't think of Michael that way, but he really was a master artist who used his resources and his skills to try to get people to think about
now, are
social
issues out yet? Your Jalamusa's Drum is out. What's the name of that one?
Black America Cried.
Black America
Cried.
Jalamusa's Drum is out. Black America Cried is out.
Yeah. We have to tie this up, Glenda. We have to really tie this up. We have a couple other people that we've got to get to, but you know we're going to have you on again and again because you are a fascinating thinker, okay? And that art of visualization, I wanted to bring that to people.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't know what to do. Try the art of visualization. End it with a prayer. Glenda Taylor, thank you very much.
Yes, Dr. Gawain has an excellent book on visualization.
Okay.
For people who are interested.
Okay.
Thanks, Glenda. I'm
going to
be reading your book.
Yeah.
I think the next caller should be visualizing himself being Speaker of the House. Congressman, we have Congressman Donald Payne, Jr.
Good evening.
Good evening, Congressman Payne. How are you?
No, I'm doing well, thank you, under the circumstances.
Y'all wrestling over there? Y'all wrestling in the House of Representatives?
In Washington, D.C.?
We're actually not doing much of anything, which, you know, if we were wrestling, I would feel engaged, but we're actually doing nothing.
Mm.
And it is a really, really is a sad time in this country's history in terms of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm. And there's no movement at all on either side, is that it? No movement with the Republicans?
There hasn't been any movement, but in the last hours we're getting rumblings that there could be something going on. I believe the leadership from both the House and the Senate and both sides of the aisle met with the president earlier this evening, and we're anticipating potentially something coming out of that. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of people that are affected. I saw that there are a couple of members of Congress and a couple of senators that they're talking about some of the furloughed workers. Obviously, your staff, like your guys' staff members, right? It affects them as well, right? The shutdown, is that correct?
Well, it could. There is a provision where you can deem your staff essential or non-essential. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the Democratic caucus has deemed their staffs essential. No one in my office has been furloughed. So they do too much work. My constituents still need their help and their services. So they're still on the payroll. Now there might be a a little hiccup on how and when they get paid, but I deemed my staff essential because I cannot continue to do the work for the constituents of the 10th Congressional District without them. So they are essential.
And the staff members of every congressperson, every representative are really important. They are the ones that help you get the job done, keep you abreast of the various issues. And when one really spends time with individuals like you, they really see how essential these people are. And they're talking to constituents as you are. Trying to provide for people. You know, part of the thing that I've noticed about what the other side is able to do is to demonize government. But and I'd like you to speak more about, you know, when you think about life in America, somebody has to keep the lights on. We have to have some form of system that keeps the lights on, paves the roads. We don't live in the old day America where people were farmers and everybody pretty much fended for themselves, and where it was an agricultural society. So the average person really doesn't understand how much assistance they get. Even those that hate Obamacare, they like the Affordable Health Care Act.
They're realizing that it's all Obamacare.
They don't know that they're one and the same. So a lot of people, you know, if you can't talk about their messaging, because they've been able to spread a lot of misinformation to people.
Oh, absolutely. And through this whole process, that's what I've consistently talked about, the misinformation. But I've had upwards of three or four forums in terms of the Affordable Care Act. I thought in July that it was important that I got out ahead of this and had different forums, one on for small business owners to let them know how that would impact them getting benefits for their workers. Did one in Jersey City for people that are potentially are going to benefit from the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. And also I partnered with Blue Wave in Montclair, New Jersey, which is one of my more affluent parts of the district, and explained to them, yes, even though most of them do have health care, how the Affordable Care Act was going to benefit them as well. Because, you know, in circumstances, even though you have health care, you potentially have someone in your family with a pre-existing condition.
Exactly.
And therefore cannot get health care. Now, that family member cannot be denied health care. So this really helps the broad spectrum of the United States. And for those people that have always been concerned about charity care and helping the poor, well, guess what? Now these people have to have health care. So that drives down the cost that you pay your premiums for the uninsured. So it's a win for everyone across the nation. And I just think that the president, and I've said it before, that this will go down in history, as one of the greatest moments in this country's life, just as it was with Medicare and Social Security as well. President Obama has sealed his legacy as transforming this nation's healthcare policies in a positive way.
Absolutely.
And part of the reason, and you said this, and you said that same thing to me on several occasions, that it's really going to be transformative in this country. Part of the thing is, too, that a lot of people are saying, and I know you agree with this, is that they wanted to delay it because they didn't want people, and even Ted Cruz says it, they don't want people to start liking it, because once people are going to start getting this service, they're going to like it and be supportive of it. So they wanted to kind of block it, which is kind of an admission that that it's a good program, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as young folks say in some of their rap songs, that it's now it's on, And the Affordable Health Care Act is implemented starting yesterday. And, you know, these discussions about the, you know, all the website, there were glitches and this. Of course there are going to be glitches when you're talking about 15 million people. Of course there are going to be problems. You know, Apple rolled out a new software several weeks ago. Guess what? The first 2 days there were glitches. But you know what? They went in and fixed them. And just as this is being rolled out, they will go in and fix them.
Yeah.
I am delighted that there were glitches and there were backlogs. That means people are on the website and trying to learn what this is and are interested in what it's going to mean to them. So that's a good sign. If there was if it was smooth sailing, then there'd be a problem. But there was an overload of the system, which means that more people than were anticipated going on this website are trying to find out how they can get affordable health care.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct. We've got to take a real quick break to talk about our sponsors again. We're on the GoPro Radio Network, GoProRadio.com.
And one of those sponsors
Those sponsors for our particular show are Bogies. Bogies Lounge,
Reuben
Nightclub
Johnson
and Lounge. Congressman knows about that. Bogies was a place that we frequented quite often back in the day, and it is back open again. It's been open for a little bit within the last couple of months or a year.
Yeah.
And it is really a new place.
He's on William Street.
William Street in East Orange. 527 William Street, thereabouts in East Orange, New Jersey. 97. Well, I'm giving you the number for Lottie's Restaurant because you might want to, once you go to Bogies and you dance and you work up a little appetite, go over there to Lottie's Restaurant. They are at 973-677-7227 if you want to order some food in the East Orange area.
I'm getting hungry.
It's really a good place to go. Now, also, in Newark, you want to check out Vonda's Kitchen.
Yes.
Vonda's Kitchen, a delicious, healthy, comfort soul food on 183.
Eric, you're sitting here salivating.
183 West Kenny Street, Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. Their number is 973-732-4532.
Call there.
That's Vonda's Kitchen in Newark, New Jersey. They do it all right.
Yeah.
I've eaten at both places. And let me tell you, I'm giving the thumbs up there for show.
Hold on, Congressman. I have to say a couple of other things I've got to say, too. Dorothy and Kirk, you know, the Jazz Vespers is going to be going on at Bethany Baptist Church in Newark, and that's going to be starting very soon. I think that's starting on the 10th. Let me see. Also, Dorothy's Place, you know, at Nico's restaurant,
which
is in New Jersey Performing Arts Center.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I have the program here that what's going on. Do you know that Smokey Robinson is coming from New Jersey?
Coming to the PAC Center.
Right. Coming from New Jersey PAC, New Jersey Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. The Temptations. Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson is remembered. Paul Robeson remembered coming.
Because he's not still around.
Al Jarreau, Sergio Mendez. I'm looking at this stuff. I'm salivating.
Yeah, we're right overhead. She didn't pick that up, y'all, that Paul Robeson's not still around. But
no
idea. So, Congressman, we're going to let you go.
God.
I know you got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Donald. You're going to be probably, you guys are waiting to see what's going down, huh?
Absolutely. You know, let me just end, you know, with two thoughts. The Affordable Health Care Act is a law, and it's implemented now. And, you know, we're hearing about the problems, but the prospects are great for the future.
Yeah.
In 1965, Medicaid and Medicare were looked at as going to ruin health care in this country.
Mm-hmm.
In 1931, Social Security was going to ruin this country because of its socialist aspects. And we know what those two programs have become in this nation. They are fabric. They are the fabric and interwoven into our lives in this country. And the Affordable Health Care Act is going to be the same. A young man, an article was in the paper, a young man in Los Angeles tried to get on the website at midnight and couldn't get on. So he went to bed, and he got up at 6 in the morning because he wanted to get on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him 3 hours to get on the website. He's diabetic. He lost his job 3 or 4 years ago, and he had a COBRA plan that was costing him $600 a month.
Mm.
This young man stated that he got on the website, enrolled, and he saved himself $6,000.
Wow.
In his health care. So this is going to be monumental. This is going to be an incredible thing. And he said he would have stayed on all day for that $6,000. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine what this is going to mean to thousands and thousands of people? That's just one story.
It's a blessing.
In the first day.
That's it's right. A blessing. Obama is a blessing. Obamacare is affordable insurance care. Okay, and people need to get on it and find out, you know, more about it. But, Congressman, thank you very much. We will be checking with you later and also next week. By the way,
thank you.
Thank you. Now, also wanted to say about next week, homicide legislation that was passed. You know, we've been talking about that for quite a while.
Right.
African-American history must be taught in the state of New Jersey.
It's the law, not just during Black History Month, but we're going to have the sponsor of that legislation on next week. We're going to be talking to him.
The person who wrote it.
That person who wrote it and came up with it. My father, former Assemblyman William D. Payne. So we're going to have him on to talk about it in depth.
Well, we want people to make note of it because of the fact that you're going to be actually able to call in to find out more about it.
Right.
I had James Harris on, you know, talking about it.
And
I suggested he was a former president of the NAACP in New Jersey.
Okay.
And he wasn't that familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you know that it is illegal in the state of New Jersey since this law was passed and it was written into law by Corzine, past Governor Corzine? I said, it is illegal to not teach, you know, African-American history.
Right.
Include that in the history because
right.
it hasn't been. I taught school. I know it was not in there then, and it still hasn't been in there. It is illegal. And I said to him, you know one thing? If a school district is not teaching African-American history, sue them.
Mm-hmm.
Sue the State Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that the African-American community is not playing games. So, you know, that's another thing that we can think of. And I'm urging people to call and get that involved
in the school system.
And guess what?
New Jersey.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. Montclair, New Jersey. They have a new superintendent of schools there.
Mm-hmm.
She is seeing that this is included in the school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
That's a great thing.
That's a
great
start.
Because you know
there's
what happens.
A couple of other areas.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, you know, I have to give a shout-out to different people, you know, different places. You know, we're talking about, there's a good battle rap by Majestic and Misty Cool, and that's in our good little listeners out there in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, there's Sparkle down in Atlanta. She's doing a radio show, and she's having educational things going on in that show also. And there's also our Carib Initiative. I'm talking to Al Jackson for Antica. I'm going to be talking to the former ambassador to the United Nations, Lionel Hurst. He was on. He's going to be back on. We're going to be talking about tourism in the islands, and we thank all the people from the different islands, Barbados, Bermuda, St. Martin, St. Kitts. We will be hearing from you. They are going to be calling in. So we now have a wider, you know, range of people listening in and paying attention to exactly what's going on in the United States, period. So we're heard all over. Oh, by the way, also, I got a call from Florida, Rick G's Jazz Jam, you know, because now we're going to be doing segments on jazz, and I'm going to be playing, you know, some music at the beginning and the end of each show. Now, we started out with Pancho Sanchez.
Right, and let's just, if you're done, let me just read a couple of,
by Glenda,
part of our audio book. We almost ran out of time.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read a couple of poems from Glenda Taylor's book, Black America Cried.
Yes.
And you should go out and pick this book up. I'm looking at the publishers, AMH Publishers, and it's a book of poetry. And on the cover is the picture of Barack Obama getting sworn in. So I was just flipping through this. And there's some poems in here that I wanted to read. And one in particular I want to dedicate to someone. And I want to dedicate this to Rush Limbaugh. And I don't want anybody, to get offended. This is strictly for Rush. The name of this poem is called Fat Ass. Fat Ass. Vomiting bull manure stench on 20 million souls. Who believe the waste products of your thought forms are actually their truth. Fat ass, criticizing without solution, a wave of pollution, farting forth from your fat ass. Speaking death to a plan. What's your plan? No plan, just maggot-filled words creeping through the airwaves in your fat ass. That's for you, Rush. There's another poem called You Got Issues. It starts, seems the rise of the blessed one started to quake, unearthing those who had hidden their darkness, hidden their subconscious, danced with coons and jigaboos. Drunken nigger cookies appear. Dead monkeys are satire without history, without meaning. Yeah. Think I was born yesterday? Yes, today. Watermelons on the White House lawn, a joke, a public servant. When you talk about it, you got a problem. You got issues. You're an opportunist trying to make news. But the one who excavates rape and abuse and a sadistic oppression and oops, has no issues. An apology. He's not racist. He didn't mean anything. Don't pay attention to that. Don't be so sensitive. Are you angry? Why? Seems you got issues. Trust. And those are just a couple of things. We're winding down. I just wanted to read a couple of those poems that Glenda had here.
Yeah.
And it's really let me read this last one. And this is
by all means.
It's for the president. It's called The White House. Breath of fresh air in the White House. Hope after 7 years of breathing fear. A ray of sun in the White House. Light beaming throughout the land. Spirits dancing in the White House saying, yes, we can. Eyes watching the White House, holding on to a dream. Faith bathing amidst cloud while Poseidon controls the stream. From sea to shining sea. From sea to shining sea in the White House. And those are just a few poems by Glenda Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is called Black America Cry, and it's with AMH Publishers, so you can pick that up. And it's a fantastic book of poetry by our good friend and our guest earlier this evening, Glenda Taylor.
My longtime friend.
Your longtime friend.
The Art of Visualization is a book out of... California.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the author, although it's been around a long time.
Right.
But it's a wonderful book, The Art of Visualization, to visualize and to do it with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference. But anyway, to get to a couple of other people out there, Tourism Tribune Initiative is looking up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing great things. We're going to be talking more to people down at New Jersey Performing Arts Center.
Right.
With the symphony, way they included black music and the hymns and the spiritual, it was absolutely great.
So the symphony did a lot of black musical selections.
Yeah, music.
Which was different.
And also who read part of a poem of Dr. Martin Luther King. It was in memory of, Dr. Martin Luther King, was Reverend Dr. What's his name? Dr. William Howard.
I see.
Where you have J.S. Vespri at his church.
At his church.
J.S. Vespri. Really some good stuff going on in Newark.
Before we go, too, I see we're coming down to just about 2 minutes left, but I wanted to talk real briefly. Show just went off that everybody loves, so I have to catch up. It's called Breaking Bad.
Oh.
And I got to talk about this because everybody jumped on the bandwagon.
Mm.
I was the first one liking Breaking Bad before all these pretenders bandwagon jumping on after the success of these people. And I'm not mad. I'm just saying. Don't wait till a show starts hitting. Everybody start talking about it. Give it a chance. Breaking Bad. 90 seconds we got. So before we go, it's GoProRadio.com. That's the network we're on. We've been sponsored by the fantastic Bogey's Nightclub and Lounge and Lottie's Restaurant at 527 William Street, East Orange, New Jersey.
And
also Vonda's Kitchen,
here.
183 West Caney Street in Newark, New Jersey, Brick City. Go check out both of those places. You're going to enjoy some good food, good nightlife, and some real comfort.
This has been Kay Thompson Live with Kay Thompson.
And I'm Eric Payne. Thank you very much.
We have 60 seconds.
Okay.
You're doing a countdown.
Okay.
Yeah, we talk about Jalen Musso's drum. That's a book about entertainers, female entertainers, that also Glenda wrote. I've been talking about that before. And she considers the entertainers griots.
Okay.
So if you want to get that book, Jalen Musso's drum.
Another time.
Fabulous.
We could read excerpts from that one as well.
Here.
In support of our friend Glenda Taylor.
Right. Okay, everyone. We'll see you again. You've been listening to Kay Thompson Live on GoPro Radio.
GroupPoRadioNetwork.com. You better listen to them voices in your head. Please.